translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. From the son of Manu named Drishta came a Kshatriya caste called Darshta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in this world. Then from the son of Manu named Riga came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhutajyoti, and from Bhutajyoti came Vasu. Purport. Here it is said, Kshatram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Kshitau. Although the Darshtas belonged to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. This gives clear evidence supporting the following statement by Narada Muni in Bhagavatam 7.11.35. Yasya yatlakshanam proktam pumso varna vivyanjakam yat anyatra pitrischeta tattanaiva vinyadishet. If the qualities of the group are found in the man of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, not by the caste of the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It's one's qualities that are stressed in all Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is also Purana. Another name of Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhagavata Purana, and thus it describes Purana. Purana means old history of this planet and even the universe, whatever was happening. And so we come every morning for history lesson. We're learning ancient history. And what is the main lesson we can learn from history? The main lesson from history that hardly anyone learns from history. That's the unfortunate lesson. But actually, this is what we meant to study history for, to learn from it. It says that the most intelligent men, they learn just by listening. They don't have to repeat the same mistakes. And unfortunately, the intelligent persons are very few in this world. But this is what Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON for. He was very clear. He was saying that the society, modern society, has everything, but it's lacking head on the shoulder. So therefore, ISKCON is meant to create the most intelligent class of men, the most thoughtful class of men, named Brahmanas, to help the society at large to put everything in place as it was meant to be, as the Supreme Lord intended it to be. And this is one of the lessons from the history. We can learn that in ancient times, Kshatriyas were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada says this is another proof. There are so many proofs in Vedic scriptures that birth doesn't have such an importance as one's qualities and activities. Therefore, when Krishna describes four varnas in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that I divided all the entire humanity into four classes according to two characteristics, guna, qualities, and karma, the activities associated with them. So Krishna never said Janma Karma Vibhagashaha. He never said according to one's birth and one's activities. No. He said according to the qualities. And qualities mentioned first, because the activities would be related to one's qualities always. You know, the qualities would show through activities. We cannot understand one's qualities unless and until one starts acting. You know, it's like one devotee tells to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I wanted to thank you very much for helping me to control myself, because for many, many hours already, I never lied to anyone. I never offended anyone. I never became angry or upset with anyone. I never bragged to anybody. So I'm doing really good, my dear Lord, by your mercy. But of course I understand that now the real challenge is coming, because now I have to get out of my bed and start my day." So, you know, it indicates that unless and until we act, how do we understand person's quality? Right? When people are sleeping, they all look the same. So Prabhupada sometimes was saying that sleep is like death, because when we go to sleep, we forget about the present body and we go into a new body, into a new situation. You know, the body we created by our imagination in a dream. And in the same way, when we die, we completely forget about this body and we move into a new body. So this is one reason why devotees don't want to sleep too much. Sleeping is one of the material conditions devotees want to overcome. And so, according to what Srila Prabhupada explains in many, many places in his books, that the Vedic system of varnas, which is called Varnashram Dharma, and which is, according to what Srila Prabhupada describes in the seventh canto, actually not just Srila Prabhupada, but Narada Muni himself, is equivalent to Sanatan Dharma. So the human society is divided into these four classes for the sake of serving the Lord. And it is very different from the present-day caste system, which is very popular in India, and which means that people claim that they have certain rights according to their birth situation. And sometimes, if you have a good experience in India, you know that you can come across people like that. For example, once in Vrindavan, we were visiting one holy place, and I can't remember, maybe it was Nityananda Vat, I think, or either Nityananda Vat or Vamshabhat, somewhere near the Yamuna. And when we were there, two local residents approached us, and one asked me, "Do you know who am I?" Yeah, it's a good introduction. You know, expert psychologists, they say, "You are fine, how am I doing?" So he was asking, "So, do you know who I am?" I said, "No, sir, I don't know." And he said, "I am a Brahmana." And just to prove that he is a Brahmana, he pulled out his thread and he was showing me his Brahminical thread. And it was really thick. He said, "You see, I'm a Brahmana. So you know what it means?" I said, "No." And he put his hand forward. He said, "You should give me a donation now." "Just because I'm a Brahmana, you should give me a donation. You know, this is your duty. Everyone should be giving donations to Brahmanas." Of course, it was very difficult to become inspired like that, to give a donation. But this is what's going on, unfortunately. Some people, they just think, just because, you know, I was born in a Brahmana family and, you know, I should just put on a thread which is, you know, as thick as the rope they use, you know, on the ship, so that no one would mistake that he is a Brahmana. And, you know, this is a sufficient qualification to, you know, just live off by donations. And then if somebody else claims to be a Brahmana, so this is nonsense, because that person was never born in Brahman family, so he or she never has that right. And of course, the motivation is very clear, that why these people who were born in Brahmana families, they don't want anyone to assume the position of a Brahmana. Very simple reason, you know, I'm a Brahmana and people giving donations to me and to few of us who are in the same category. But if all of a sudden, you know, other people would start becoming Brahmanas, they will be taking away our donations. And this is complete disaster. Then we might die from starvation. Like that. So this kind of mentality is unfortunate. And of course, it is very clearly based on, you know, qualities which are not really the best qualities human being can possess, which is basically pride of one's position and jealousy, which, you know, does not allow anyone else to assume the same position. So, but actually, who Brahmana is, that is described in Bhagavad Gita. And supposedly, everyone who has Brahminical initiation should know this verse quite well. So, if you want, we can chant it together. If you know this verse, we can chant it together. Shamo damo tapasucham kshanchir ajavam evacha jnana vijnanam aschikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So there are 9 specific qualities mentioned in this verse, which is a very clear attribute of a Brahmana. And what are these 9 qualities? Let's see. Shama. What is the meaning of shama? Peacefulness, yes. And dhamma, self-control. Tapaha, astya, brahmanas are astya. And shuchi, they are clean. Kshantir. Kshantir is tolerant, yes. They can tolerate, not pain, not physical pain. Brahmanas cannot tolerate physical pain so much. But they can tolerate mental pain. You know, they can tolerate offenses. They don't even notice. They're not even noticing offenses from others, because they know everything is controlled by the Lord. So if Lord is allowing someone to offend me, so it's Lord's desire. So I don't want to protest. Arjavam. Honesty, right? Correct? Kshantir arjavam evacha jnanam, knowledge, vijnanam, yeah, wisdom, and astikyam, religiousness. Brahmanas means they are disciplined. For the sake of serving the Lord, they follow very strict discipline, which is hardly understood by other people. Like when I entered the Bhaktivedanta manor before 4 in the morning today, and I saw, you know, so many devotees already up and either chanting or already doing their services. And Srinivas Prabhu already cleaning something, preparing something, and many other devotees doing services. I was thinking, this is so unusual. If some uninformed person would come in here, you know, he would think, oh, these people must be suffering from insomnia. You know, why they so up this so early in the morning? But then devotees are up early in the morning, every single morning. Not because they suffer from insomnia, they are okay, but they do it as an austerity for the service of the Lord. They want to follow that discipline. So these are all brahminical qualities, and we can see very clearly that the entire ISKCON setup is meant for this particular person, to train an ordinary person who was not born into brahminical family or whatever. I mean, today we already have few devotees born in not only Brahmana but Vaishnava families, which is amazing. I mean, these kids are amazing, and you can see that they're not ordinary by any stretch of imagination. Very, very special kids. But most of us, we were not so fortunate to, you know from the start of our lives that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and never having to take a single piece of meat or any other dead thing as our food. But still, despite of the late start, Srila Prabhupada gave us everything, the entire system, to reform our consciousness and become trained as qualified brahmanas. And this is supported by all Vedic literatures, and Srila Prabhupada is as one evidence. There are of course so many evidences, but one evidence he quotes is given in Upanishads. Quite famous incident when a celebrated sage, Gautama Muni, or Gautama Rishi, was, you know, inviting children to join his Gurukul, and one boy who came there, and, you know, traditionally, only highest caste brahmanas, kshatriyas, they study in Gurukul. And so, because it is actually true that birth in a qualified family gives one amazing opportunities one would not have otherwise. It is true. So there is some validity in that, to, you know, kind of analyze people according to their birth as a ground, as a foundation for further development. And so Gautama Rishi was asking these children, these boys, what is your gotra? And of course, in India, any cultured person, any high-class person, supposed to know one's gotra. This is a family lineage which comes from one of the celebrated sages on a universal scale. Some people have Bharadvaj gotra, some people have Vasishta gotra, etc., etc., different gotras like that, different lineages. And yeah, in India, cultured people supposed to know their gotra. And so he was asking these boys, what is your gotra? You know, which lineage you belong to? And gotra is very important. And Then everyone was saying that I belong to this Gotra and I belong to Angira Muni Gotra and other Gotras. And then one boy, he said, I don't know my Gotra. And the other boy started giggling and, you know, looking at each other. Who is this boy? He doesn't even know his Gotra. How come he wants to join this Gurukul? You know, and study under this, you know, celebrated sage. If he doesn't even know his Gotra, what's his qualification? But Gautama Muni was very kind and very compassionate, and he said, what is the reason you don't know his Gotra? And the boy said, well, I don't know my Gotra because I don't know who my father is. I never knew my father. You know, of course, it is quite popular nowadays, single motherhood, that ladies just have illicit sex on the side and they just get pregnant and they raise a kid. And so it became almost natural and acceptable in modern society, but it was very unusual and very shameful in Vedic culture. And so all the other kids, they started laughing and they started saying, look, he doesn't know who his father is. That means his mother is prostitute. He's the son of prostitute. And he wants to come and study under this great sage. What a nonsense. But Gautama Rishi had a different viewpoint. He said, I will take this boy because he is Brahmana by quality. Because he is simple. He didn't want to conceal the truth for the sake of achieving his goal, and he is honest. And these are simplicity and honesty, very, very prominent Brahminical qualities. And so Gautama Rishi took this boy and he went on to become a celebrated sage himself, Jabala Rishi. So this was his birth. But then by training, and because he had good quality in him, he became a perfect personality. So which shows that actually this is how it was always judged in real Vedic culture. You know, it was people were judged by quality, not by birth. And therefore Srila Prabhupada was claiming his right to convert people into brahmanas. Because, for example, religiosity and interest in spiritual knowledge are very clear brahminical qualities, at least brahminical inclinations. So some foundation is there. And so if amongst so many thousands and millions of people, few people, they take interest in studying Prabhupada's books, Vedic scriptures, as they are, without any adulteration, and Vishwambar Prabhu can confirm, having so many years of experience on book distribution, out of so many people passing by, very, very few people actually take interest in Prabhupada's books. And so out of those who actually one way or the other agreed to take Prabhupada's books, how many of them actually, you know, read them beyond A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada on the, you know, title page? Because most of the people, they just read that and they say, okay, this book is not really for me. I can't understand a thing in it. So they just put it on the shelf. But very few people, they actually agree to rack their brain trying to penetrate into that knowledge. So this is very clear brahminical quality, desire not just for knowledge but for spiritual knowledge. And so, on those basis, Srila Prabhupada was saying that, yes, even though my disciples, my followers, were not born in Brahminical families, well, most of them, I think he had few, like Bhakti Charu Maharaj, very clear example. Someone who was perfect from the start, even before, or Gaura Govinda Maharaj, that perfect personalities whose birth was perfect, whose life was perfect from A to Z. Not a single blemish. But these were exceptions. But for most people, Srila Prabhupada was saying, even though they were not born in Brahminical family, but because they have the qualities, they are eligible for training, and after training, they are eligible to assume the position of a Brahman. So this was actually not even started by Srila Prabhupada, it was started by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, giving Brahminical initiations to non-Brahmanas, for which he was hated by caste Brahmanas, and they were attacking him many times. Actually, his whole, we can say, preaching career started. Now, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, was the first one to challenge that caste system. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati followed in his footsteps. And the first, you know, kind of success of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was when he, on behalf of his father, went to have a debate with caste Brahmanas. And it was very interesting. It's actually, I think it's described in a book, Brahmana and Vaishnava. And so, you know, they came there, you know, determined to defend their right as a Brahmana, their position as a Brahmana, and, you know, dispute the right of anyone else to assume that position. And there were so many of them, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was alone. He was only one. But he was extremely intelligent, of course. You know, devotee's intelligence comes from the Lord. And when he came, he actually started his speech in a very sweet way. And he started quoting so many passages from Vedic literature, how special the Brahmanas are. And, you know, some passages are just mind-blowing, like passages from Manu Samhita. If anyone read those, it's amazing. It says that the whole world belongs to Brahmanas only, does not belong to anyone else. Everything here is the property of Brahmanas. Therefore, Manu Samhita says, if anyone is dressed in anything, this is the dress of the Brahmanas. If anyone eats anything, this is the food of Brahmanas. You know, Brahmanas just benevolent enough, kind enough to share. The whole world belongs to them. They just kind enough to give others, you know, certain things so that they could use, etc. So Brahmanas are real representatives of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord gave this whole world to Brahmanas, and he was quoting these passages from Vedic literatures one after another. And of course, all those Brahmanas assembled there, they became very, very happy to hear that. Oh yes. Finally, someone recognized, someone knows our greatness according to Vedic scriptures. And then he said, yes, this is the position of a Brahmana, but now who is a Brahmana? And then he started quoting another set of quotes, which were explaining that Brahmana is not the one who was born as a Brahmana, but one who has a quality of a Brahmana. And if someone is just born as a Brahmana, but doesn't have a quality of a Brahmana, he is useless. And they became very angry, but they could not do anything. because he was quoting Vedic scriptures and they knew that it's true. So he defeated them. So this was his first victory, and of course his whole life was establishing those revolutionary changes in the Indian society at that time. Because Srimad Bhagavatam says that Krishna consciousness is revolutionary. Tadbad visarga janadaka biplavo. The word biplavo means revolution. So that's why Srila Prabhupada was saying that Krishna consciousness means declaring war on Maya, on illusory energy, and naturally those who are influenced by Maya, very easily they can become inimical towards the devotees or develop hatred. Even though devotees, they don't think that anyone is their enemy, devotees are friends of everyone, but some people, they become so envious of devotees that they think that devotees are their enemies due to their ignorance. Of course, we have to tolerate that. But, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was preaching that, and he won single-handedly. And then Srila Prabhupada took the same concept further. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was initiating non-Brahmanas in India into Brahmanas, which was created great upheaval, great uproar amongst caste Brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada took it one step further. He started initiating, what to speak of, non-Brahmanas, even people who were not even born in India. And those who are born in India, according to strict Vedic definitions, are not even considered to be human beings. Non-humans. Prabhupada was initiating, not just giving Brahmana initiation. He was giving sannyas, which actually created uproar not only amongst the caste Brahmanas in India, but amongst his own god brothers. They were protesting. So the very first time when Srila Prabhupada brought his first disciples to India, and some of those disciples, they were not quite completely reformed at that time, and so they still retained certain unfavorable habits. For example, they were going to Loy Bazaar, and instead of buying things, they were thinking, what the heck, we're doing it all for Krishna, let us steal it. So they were stealing things, etc., and they were doing other uncultured things. And so, Prabhupada's god brothers, they observed that, and they came, and they were very upset. The whole group of them came. And Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples, and of course, they were all Bengalis, and they started shouting at Prabhupada in Bengali language. Shouting and screaming, and even though, the disciples couldn't understand what the conversation is about, but the body language speaks better than the words, so they could figure out that they are saying, why did you bring these mlechas and yavanas into the holy place? You're contaminating everything, etc., etc. And Prabhupada would not say a word. He would just listen to them with his head bowed down. Actually, he was not also happy with the behavior of his disciples. And when, if you don't argue with a person, there is so much of a fire inside, and so after some time, they got tired of all this shouting and screaming, and they kept quiet. They wanted to know what Prabhupada thinks about it. And then, after they all became peaceful, Prabhupada raised his head, and he said, in English language, to make sure that his disciples also understand, he said, I'm only trying to fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master. I'm only trying. And what could they say? Because it was true. Everyone knew that it was true. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave Srila Prabhupada that instruction to go to the West and preach. And preaching means people join, they become devotees. And so Prabhupada brought his first disciples. So he was following his guru's order. And they could not deny that. They could not argue with that. And so they had to accept. And, of course, many years have passed and the devotees became quite well trained. And nowadays, devotees have very good quality. Comparing to, sometimes we may be not very happy, but, you know, once I asked Bhaktivikash Maharaj, because I observed that certain people who were not really stable in their, you know, mental, whatever, health, were kind of joining the movement. And I was asking, you know, why Krishna consciousness tends sometimes to attract people who are a little crazy. And Maharaj laughed and he said, if you would, you know, have experience of early days ISKCON, that, you know, you would ask why some normal people sometimes join this movement. Because there were so many crazy people joining the movement. And Prabhupada tolerated all this. And so naturally, after many years of practices, those devotees who are steady in their practices, they develop themselves very nicely. And as a result, we see the shift that now already those people who are very, very qualified, and the further the better, you know, now I can see that new devotees, those who join the movement, they have such an amazing, you know, level of consciousness and such amazing qualities, because the like attracts. And so naturally, the more the devotees are advancing, the more they attract people with high level of consciousness to the movement. And so we can see that the movement has very solid future in this way. You know, things are really happening. You know, there is a real rapid positive development. But of course, for us, we should never rest on our laurels, because material world means Maya can always cheat us and Maya can always organize a trap. And I just remembered one story. It's actually a fairy tale meant for kids, but you know, sometimes those fairy tales, they have very, very deep lessons. And this fairy tale, maybe someone came across that. It describes, you know, one kingdom which was dominated by a dragon. And, you know, a prince goes to fight with the dragon and he never comes back. And so everyone assumes, okay, the prince died in a battle, dragon defeated him. And then another prince goes and he fights with the dragon and he doesn't come back. And everyone assumes the same thing happened to him. And then this is happening for a while. And then at one point, one man decides to go and see in disguise into that kingdom, what actually happened to all those princes. And he discovers that actually none of them was defeated by the dragon. Actually, every single prince going into that kingdom, he was defeating the dragon. But then what was happening next? That prince would ascend to the throne and become the next dragon. So, and of course we may say, hey, we won our right to be Brahmanas now, right? That all these caste Brahmanas, they are nothing. We are the real thing. But it's very important that we do not become the next caste Brahmanas. We do not become the next dragons in line. That we do not create a new parampara. That we actually follow the right parampara, Srila Prabhupada's parampara. That means we remember that it's not the position, but it's the quality. And the qualities are so important that Srila Prabhupada once said, you know, the 26 qualities of a devotee, everyone should not only know these qualities theoretically, but actually work to develop those qualities in full. And he gave an instruction, which, you know, I listened on the tape, oral instruction. He said, devotees should, print these qualities on a kind of banner and display those qualities visibly for everyone to see in the temple. And so I haven't seen any temple with that kind of banner yet, but this, this is how much Srila Prabhupada was stressing the importance of developing the qualities, understanding that real devotee means quality. And of course, we all have some good qualities. I can positively assure you that I absolutely have one good quality, undisputedly. And this is the quality of my dhoti I wear, because this dhoti is the best quality of, you know, available on the Loy Bazaar. But this should not be the only quality, right? When I come to one of the, you know, merchants in Loy Bazaar, he jokes, he says, good dhoti, good devotee. But of course it's a joke, because devotee, you know, we cannot become a devotee just because we wear dhoti. We can't become devotee even by putting tilak on our forehead, or even decorating our necks with tilak, with neck beads and brahminical thread and all. These are not sufficient qualities, you know. To have the best quality neck beads ever, you know, these are not the qualities scriptures are talking about. And so, in order to maintain the purity, it is very important for us to focus on developing our qualities rather than, you know, putting on a good show. Because Krishna consciousness is the matter of consciousness, not the matter of externals. All right, so, question?